the common denominator of things that are going around really all of us in one sense or another is violence. There's the thing with Bloom and I is violent. This I can predict and project that situation with you could get wild. The thing with Linda Newman. I don't know if you guys. Rick's little puppy died this morning. And it's really, you know, it's that can. I know I Rex and I probably were in the same boat, but I had animals all my life, and I was far closer to animals than I ever was to a human being. And it would just, you know, fortunately they didn't die very often, but the different ones I had, but it was like, it was the worst thing. I hate it. I mean, it's probably bad news, but it was worse for me than when my dad died. And it's, but it's, death is obviously violent. And it's, and we forget these scriptures, and let me just speak to a couple of them. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And in Paul, it says, confirming that he was, when they went to Antioch, and they confirmed the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, and I've been talking to Gary and Judy about Linda. We are a violent people. You don't like to hear that. And God is storming our kingdoms with His munitions. You know, Rex called me the other night and asked me what in the world was going on with Leah, because she just kept hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and suffering so much. And I told him it was a picture of him. That picture is the refusal to say, Father, I totally accept my death. And it's not just him, it's in all of us. I totally accept my death. No, I could. You know, the time that when I was held hostage, and most of you heard the story, I won't bore you with the details, but I spent 7 hours negotiating with God, or with Barry, or with myself, or screaming. It seems like I spent my life screaming and yelling at Bloom, but in my mind, I oozed him about 50,000 times for leaving me with that maniac. And I finally said, Father, I accept my death. And that's when the mystery occurred.
When Rick, I was thinking about violence, when Rick told me this morning that Leah had died, I didn't know what to say to him, but about 20 minutes later, I remembered you describing the scene at Passover, that, I mean, lambs are sweeter and cuter and more lovable and more innocent than puppies, and 250,000 of them were cut apart, and the other night, the leper brings a cute, lovable, adorable little lamb and has to kill it himself.
But it isn't a light thing that we are about. And don't be surprised there's violence around you. Your only response is that you can never respond with violence. I mean, that's the test.
Respond what?
You can't respond to violence. You're in this crazy position where you have to love your enemies. But man, just think of the violence that's been done in the name of God. God, I mean, obviously, either you believe God is impotent or he doesn't exist, or he could have stopped that. He did it for a purpose. It was determined for a purpose. You know, I remember when Doug and I guess it was Rick or Doug and you or somebody, Doug and somebody, were talking about, and came up and asked me what the purpose of sports was. And it was to show there's only one winner. And that's a violent phenomenon. You know, I've talked about this trench warfare. It's not a pretty picture. Our life, I can't get that out of my mind, but our life is not a Hallmark card. You know, the only way that, you know, get your thing stupid. It says God is all and in all. What kind of a dumb thing is that to say? Does that mean God is in, you know, there could, you know, next year there could be 23 million people starve in Northern Africa? Huh?
We were reading about this today, about the locusts and the famine.
And you say you believe that God, there's no more permissive will of God, it's only the determined will of God. You really believe that? That meant God determined those jillions of little babies dying of starvation, which is the worst death there is. God is all and in all. There's no evil done in the city except the Lord hath done it. He forms the light, he creates darkness. He creates evil. He, the Lord, does all these things. So you may say from the rising of the sun that there's no one beside him.
Yeah.
God is either all and in all, or he is in nothing. That's the point that you have reached. If he isn't all and in all, he's in absolutely nothing. In the ancient Hebrew way of terminology, my job and your job is what you're being schooled for, if you will, or trained up for, is to be a Zadik. Z-A-D-D-I-K in the transliteration of the spelling. A tzaddik has only two jobs. A tzaddik was the one that they let down from above in the Holy of Holies, and he repaired the walls, made sure the Holy of Holies didn't collapse. But in the spirit, his job was, he only did two things in his life. One is, he told the people the dire straits that they were in. The dire circumstances. And then he said, the help that was available. Now, all of the stuff that's gone on between, in each of you, but it's now crystallized in this thing that's taking place with the New Israel group, is that in one sense, they and you don't believe something. And what you don't believe is that the end may be tomorrow or next week, or in 2 weeks, or in 3 months. And therefore you plan your lives and your thought processes on the basis of an infinite amount of time available to you. You understand me?
Yeah.
And it's the way of the Gentile. Your response to the world, your response to the ones around you, your response to all stimuli is based on the assumption of the Antichrist within the temple that you have an infinite amount of time available to you. I'm not going to go out in the street corner and say, repent, for the end of the world is coming. I'm going to do far worse than that. That's easy. That can be ignored. I mean, at the gut level, at the bottom line, if your life was lived on the basis that you had 5 minutes left on earth, from now on, all preaching would be unnecessary. For the ones that were in your world, if you knew, you believed, you knew, I mean, you tell them. Your little trips and your little idolatries would fall in a nanosecond. Vows would be impossible. Am I communicating?
Yes.
The whole basis of what I think is a leaven and bloom in that group is the basis that they think they have a lot of time left. And everything else flows from that. Now, I mean, that's really dumb. I mean, that's a dumb way to live. What I just said to you is really dumb. Except, for the most part, that's the way I have lived for 17 years, almost 17 years. And it's the neatest part of my entire life. I don't have any needs. I don't have any wants. The things that I thought were my desires have been fulfilled in you all. Now, that is the only part of my walk with God that you are to duplicate. Fundamentally, it doesn't make a damn to me whether or not He comes the next 5 minutes. I mean, it wouldn't change my life one iota. Wouldn't change the way I think about life one iota. Now stop a minute. Don't you understand that all idolatry has the basis, has as its basis, an assumed infinite amount of time available?
That's how the beast raised his head. I mean, in the moment, he has a deadly head wound, but like in the future, he resurrects himself. If you're thinking in the future, he's alive. Mm-hmm. That's an illusion.
Can you hear this? Do you understand me? There is no condition that can withstand the cross when you take the component of time out of it. But you've got to see how you secretly, you can say all the right words. It's finished. Hallelujah. I really believe it's finished. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
That's why God doesn't really give a holy shit about what you say. He cares about how you live. How you live in that response. And so when I hear these things that I always hear from you, you know, in some ways, my gut goes, oh no, not again. You know, when are they going here? I mean, tell me what would withstand. What? Tell me something that's troubling you, other than the pure act of whether or not you really believe or not, which is an interesting other story. But tell me anything other than that that's troubling you that could stand the end of time being 5 minutes from now. Other than, you know, I got to go. Rick's got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I do. And I want one of Jackie's pills.
No, but I'm not trying to be apocryphal or mysterious here and play mental games with you. I'm saying to you that that's the basis of faith. It's also the basis, the not seeing that is the basis of all heresy. And the basis, therefore, of all apostasy in you. So that's, you know, I'm not going to ask you to put a phylactery on your head or something, but... Phylactery, bumper sticker.
Okay.
Phylactery.
Yeah, like a condom?
Well, that's the building where they make condoms, phylacteries.
Sorry. Phylacteries. For 5 minutes and that's all you can think about. It's very spiritual.
It was so disgusting and left.
Let me. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles, the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in these last days scoffers, walking after their own desires, and saying, where is the evidence of his presence? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And that's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. I mean, they're just marrying and giving marriage, they're just living, they're just doing their thing. They're having little stuff about kids and little stuff about boyfriends and little stuff about jobs and careers and all these little stuff. Christ must have thought this is kind of important. I mean, he said it several times in this in a relationship of love. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the parousia of the Son of Man.
It's like they didn't. People back then,
they
didn't even
know
about rain.
Never even heard of rain. No, couldn't even imagine rain.
It hadn't rained.
Had never rained. Yeah. Just like you can't conceive, the Gentile mind cannot conceive of a condition without time. So I say to you, John said all about it. He said, when the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. What the hell does that mean? You can't conceive of a condition in which there's no time. Why can't you? God could have made you conceive of that in an instant. Why can't you conceive of it?
Just because you wouldn't need to think.
That's right. And he said, Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I'm not talking about any in the world. He didn't give a shit about the world. The world's going to perish. The world's going to die. It already is. He cares about that life that has entered the New Jerusalem. not willing that any should perish by not fully accepting the inheritance that's freely given to them now. But that all should come to total repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise. Now we're talking about passing away of all that you can see. The heaven shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all that are therein shall be burned as a thief in the night.
Wow, that's really cool. So you imagine a thief coming into your house, you're asleep, and all of a sudden you say, you know.
That's exactly it. The twinkling of an eye. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Again, won't you try to imagine one of your ideas or opinions or idols that's going to withstand that. Give me a value system that's going to withstand the heavens, the earth, and everything melting in a moment of time. Poof. That's the name of her idol. Poof.
Poof.
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. That's not the name of her idol. That's the essence of her idol. Poof. Poof. What?
Polly.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The word conversation there is that strange word. We think of holy conversation.
God, Jesus, don't say.
Yeah. We think of Gregorian chants.
It's like, I know Russian. Gorbachev, Moscow,
Perestroika, Glasnost, vodka. Anyway, holy conversation. Hear this. This is important. First of all, the word conversation means manner of life, and holy means sanctified, set apart. That means that every element of your life defines, by its nature, that you expect this thing, this condition, this inexpressible phenomena to take place in the twinkling of an eye right before you.
God, I wish I could keep doing it now.
Why?
Tired way.
Do you understand? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Do you understand what it would do to your world if you conducted your life as though you had 5 minutes to live?
And yet that's how we were expected to live.
It's not even expected. It's the natural outcome of the realization of the resurrection within you. You don't have to, I mean, you don't have to pump yourself up to do it. I mean, I could never have gotten, I asked you all the other night that you had to confess that vow that you made in the Afghanistan as sorcery and blasphemy. I mean, if you lived like, how could you possibly make a vow if you saw that, you know, the time was going to end in 5 minutes? You understand? That's why we must only preach the cross. That's why I come down so totally hard on you with regard to everything that isn't the cross. That's why there is violence. Looking for and hasting. It means you have something to do with it. By your obedience, you'll bring time to an end. And I've said that 500,000 times over the last 14 years. It's too awesome to believe that it's even possible. Can you imagine you running around telling some group of dorks that by your obedience you're going to bring time to an end? That wherever you are is the capital of the universe? That all things exist to serve you?
You've seen Sky with Diamonds.
What?
It's right in line with that.
What do you say?
You've seen the sky with them.
I can't imagine running around telling people that, but I can't imagine. I'm thinking about Noah's sons. And what was it, 100 years? Or how long?
120 years.
120 years to build the ark. They got up every morning and they worked on the ark all day long. That's what they did. For 120 years.
Either it was a hell of a big ark or they were office.
It was a hell of a big arc.
They were union.
Three guys.
They were union. They were no retirement.
They were union.
But I can imagine.
How big was it? I know we talked about it.
300 cubits.
300 cubits.
That's 25 inches per cubic.
Go for wood.
A little over 600 feet.
60 cubits high. 60 cubits high.
Long,
two city blocks.
How many football fields? I think they're football fields.
300 feet
of
football field.
Two football fields.
Long
block. Several stories high.
Anyway. Think of that. They didn't
have power tools.
No power tools. No nails. They all had to cut.
No nails.
All that fucking pins to seal it up.
Just three guys like Gary.
Three guys like me, Rick, and Daryl. Hey, Daryl, get this here.
Screw you, buddy.
Doing
good job on that.
I'm drinking a beer over here in the shade.
And Rex is playing Moses in this crew.
Moses?
Yeah. He's sitting around telling you what. He's thinking around thinking up stuff.
Noah. Can you guys?
I mean, Noah. Noah.
How many times
did
I tell you?
Get them lions away from them giraffe.
I can imagine them doing that all day long every day for 120 years and people coming by and saying, why are you doing that? That I can't imagine.
Why do you believe what Noah's got in his garage?
Okay.
It's going to rain. It's funny, it's the same thing. Okay. People say, why do you meet so often?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same reason.
It's going to rain.
It's the same difficult explanation. I mean, I don't know why we meet.
They were too busy building the ark to go out and pitch.
It's
the
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming or parousa of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we look for new heavens and new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Oh, understand what that says? That you may be found of him in the state of peace. In the state whereby you know that it is impossible for anything in time and space to be against you, especially this, without spot or wrinkle.
You know, usually when you preach on this subject, talk about these things, I get panicked and I think, oh shit, you know, I've got to be ready. I've got to be complete. I've got to be this way when this happens. And then I think, just now, well, the only thing is that the only person that can make that happen is God.
Well, not only that, that's not the purpose. That's not what I want to make you think about. I want to make you so convinced that you can't do it that you pick up the cross and see that he has done it. Remember last night? Don't forget last night. Flesh can't be tested. I can't do this stuff. The only thing I know is that this can't do this stuff. I can't preach.
Got you on the other end.
Do you know how scary it was for me to think about having a Bible study?
No.
Because I think of this as like eternity. It's always been going on this way. I just came in here.
Yeah. 50 years ago, only within that chair.
He was or a similar chair.
He's ageless.
And you looked like that. Looked like in the front end.
Greg,
no, I saw some pictures that Judy had of that first time I was there at Eagle Mountain Lake. You know, I was like, I couldn't even recognize Judy. Gary looked different and you looked different. And it's like, but I was there. But when I think about it, I look like this little kid. And when I think about it, it's this group of people. They were at Eagle Mountain Lake and you looked that way. You know?
Yeah. I get memories.
I don't think about you starting a Bible study.
You were frightened of a prospect.
Oh, God.
Why, though? I mean, why were you afraid of it? Were you afraid of it because it was a big responsibility?
No, I could never speak this stuff. I could never speak what I knew. That'd be crazy.
Man, I know what to say, but I just can't come across the way I want to.
I mean, you
know.
I
say that
because
that's what I was saying.
No, I mean, I said, you know. It's just stupid. Mm-hmm. Just stupid. But anyway, through the violence and through the this incredible stupid stuff, it's total foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. I'd have done it totally different. Besides the end, I mean, like, oh shit, end of the world stuff. You know. That's like the icing on the cake. The substance of what this is about is this thing that I was talking about at dinner tonight, that we have something that is so rare in this earth and on this earth, and that's this incredible sense of community. You know, I think I've been thinking about John a lot lately, and he has never participated in it. He doesn't understand that. But and as I think of the violence it took to get that sense of community.
Today, I know I'm a six now. I kept a journal for years and years, and I wrote all the time. And I stopped like about a year before I moved here, 2 years ago, I stopped. And today, last night I pulled that out because I was trying to look up something, a description of something. Anyway, of course, you know, I just started flipping pages and looking through it. And this person that was in this journal was just so depressed, and he was just total rage and venom and poison, nothing but that. I mean, that's all sin. It's just total hatred coming out of this book. And it's like, I couldn't even, it's like I had to have it written down there on the book to remember that I was that way, and I could be that way again in a second. And it's like, now I think of that never happened. You know, it has to be written down.
Yeah.
To recognize that there is, and that's where the, by violence, because I got this by violence. I mean, the violence that was in me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, you know, I was a.
Yeah.
You know, by myself. Kego violence.
But I want
to. I just remember violence that went down between you and I.
Oh.
Yeah.
Daryl and everybody.
Terrible.
On God!
No, not at all.
Leaders of tomorrow, modern America, is what I used to look at. He and Doug and Rick and say,
"Oh God,
time to move to Russia."
Really?
Well, We're going to come back. I want to take a break. But I want you to think about these things that you think are troubling you. Now, what happens is you come to this incredible state of being that if you knew you had 5 minutes to live, there's absolutely nothing you could do for Linda. So pray for her.
And I figured out what that's called, September. Because see, really what I've been doing here is I'm afraid of you. That's it. I'm afraid of your judgment about this situation. And so
it's a good
that's
thing.
Colored, no, because what it's done, it's colored my...
It's a good fear.
My only response is to love her.
Amen.
And to say, if you want to go to San Francisco, then I'll go to San Francisco with you. And I'll be happy about it. Rather than trying to get all this all maneuvered around so I don't get screwed somehow.
Yeah. Or worse yet, throw her to Olin.
What?
Or worse yet, throw her to Olin.
Oh, I'll do that.
Can I step it out of the way so you don't get...
Something that things that bother me. There's only one thing that seems to bother me, and that's the whole mindset we've been talking about lately of thinking things will be better if this happens or if this happens. I mean, that's just been overwhelming to me. That's my only consuming thought all day. It's like a floodlight is just on that thought pattern. If X, Y, Z happens, things will be better and I'll be happier. Living in the future, living in debt for the future. And it's just intense. It's like a giant suntan thing I can't get out of. It's just like burning me up or something. Just to want to be out of that place where you can be, to want to be in a place where you can be in rest and see the finishness.
And that's what it means that every man, that each one of us has to go through that burden. The sun, that heat, that cosmic sun lamp has to burn the crap out of you, so to speak. You have to have third degree burns in all areas.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, that was Thursday night. I just had this very long conversation with my ex-wife. I was kind of hyped about it. She'd heard the tapes, and she was ultra-religious, and, oh, gee, it's great stuff, And,
A religious person heard what tapes? My tapes?
Yeah.
She said it was great?
Well, no, she was just, yeah, exactly, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It was like Tina Volume 2.
Okay.
So,
Is this more Rick Evangelistic Association?
No, it was too frighteningly real. It was like a deja vu of sorts. Anyway, Rex comes home, and he starts telling me about what Oli preached on last night, but he had preached on that Thursday night, talking about you will fail. I mean, you have failed, you are failing, you will fail. I mean, there's no, and it's so how that was, yeah, that was enormously liberating to me, because in my head I was doing just that, well, what about this? And I go back in my past, well, what about this? If this had been, it doesn't matter. It bombed for a reason. It is bombing for a reason. It will continue to bomb.
I mean, the great evidence of a bombing is that you're going to die.
Oh, yeah, ultimate bomb.
I mean, all these other things are just...
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can always say, well, what about all dying people in Africa? Or what about all... The world's going to melt, but then just get down to it. Everyone else has croaked, and you're going to croak too.
Yeah, that's why it says... And when we don't have the protection of our idols, then we, if Christ isn't resurrected, we by definition are of all men most miserable. Well, that's my terrible job. I've got to push you to that horizon. Now, I didn't answer an ad for this job description.
I mean, how did you pass an interview?
Really?
I mean, can you imagine? I can't, in my wildest dreams, I cannot imagine going somewhere to learn how to preach or how to prepare a sermon. Can you? I mean, but that's what people do in our system and have done for hundreds of years. How can you do that?
I think some Sunday we should just pick any church at random and go sit.
I think we should go to Preston Baptist.
Yeah, I bet about that.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a place for our kids.
And where does
Lessons on how to play tennis.
You can get, run into 10K
with,
if you want
did
to.
Did you read that part about they have one guy who gets paid a salary and does
great. I thought, what a great job.
Yeah.
I could do that job.
I was reminded of the Irish funerals where they hire a Jew to cry and wail at the gravesite.
We can pay one guy to sit around and think up stuff. Same difference.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Mr. Prayer.
Wait.
You say that God made us so we can't think of there being no time. That seems to be saying is not, you know, looking forward to things to happen.
Well, that's what it says. He made us subject to vanity.
Yeah.
Not willingly. Yeah. We're not willingly subject to vanity. That'd be a dumb thing. But by reason of him who has subjected the same hope. The reason that we're subject to vanity is so the test can take place. I mean, don't you understand? I mean, it's God's tricking you again. You're made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected it, the same in hope. That's a wild scripture. But please consider, we're going to take a break, what your life would be like if you knew that the end was... Well, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that the trumpet sounding, the sound of the last trump, that it's analogous to the trumpet in the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, so that the world's going to end on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. That means that, and if this year is interesting, because now they've got all of the dispensationalists who say that since the birth of Israel occurred in 1948, therefore the end of the world must be September 21st, 1988. There's 20 books out about it.
They better sell fast, too. That's a very
timely thing. Well, it looks like it'll sell well next year.
No, but again, they won't. But I'm saying to you that what happened, I mean, for us, we don't care whether that happens then or not. But because they think you're going to go up and play spiritual yo-yo for a while, the rapture stuff. Well, God's going to play yo-yo with the church. You're going to get raptured, and then you're going to come back down, and you're going to get raptured, you know.
And you're going to hear plenty of
more spiritual science.
Walk the dog.
Are you kidding?
Going to
get yeah, we go read the late great. Go read that stuff.
Late
great. A lot of people here believe that.
Oh,
Ed believed it. Rick believed it.
I believed it.
Maybe Rick not.
Daryl believed it. Harry believed it.
Yeah, I was scared enough where I read it.
Well,
that
seemed pretty symbolic to me, so I believe it.
I figured just like once we get the 3.5 years, I'll be a good guy then. 3.5 years, I'll know what's happening.
No problem.
Well, anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter.
God, a lot of living to do. A lot of living to do. God help.
Forgive them.
Come quickly. Yeah.
Yeah,
come down. Did you say? Come
what quickly. Did he say?
He
said, come quickly.
Bam. You're being taken out of context.
That was the one last time. No glove, no
it speaks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to hit him for
I'll
that.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Bam.
I'll stand by that. I'll like
that. A good one.
The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such also are they that are earthy. And is the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. But we shall all be transfigured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruption This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible shall have put on, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which die in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence or coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now let me show you something. The three scriptures that we read, Peter, Corinthians, and 1 Thessalonians, say that it could happen any moment. Now in 2 Thessalonians, Paul did this incredible thing. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. What do you mean? Understand? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you I told you this? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now preventeth will prevent until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now the question that you have to see is, that's why I believe that we are very close, because we have revealed the man of sin, the son of perdition.
You don't think Paul knew that?
Yeah.
Did people around him?
He didn't say it. He was prevented from saying it.
That
you are the Antichrist, that you are the man of sin, that you are the son of perdition.
Oh, from saying it in the letter.
Why would God
say that? Everybody, but the people who he was talking to, they knew what he was talking about.
No, that's not what he's saying.
He's saying not
that would not be very outrageous.
I'm saying that Paul said that there are things, Daniel said it, Paul said it, Christ said it. He says that there are things that they couldn't say to you yet because it wasn't time. I don't know any place else. I mean, either what I'm saying to you is right, or it's the most outlandish, stupid thing that ever existed. Either we have here, in this small, insignificant group of people, revealed who the man of sin is and who the son of perdition is, or we haven't. If we have, then Paul's letter here says that the coming of the Lord, the end, the day of judgment, the day, the end of time that was spoken of by John in Revelation, can't happen until a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. I'm saying to you, we have revealed it. Therefore, the letting or preventing that's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is now been taken out of the way.
Can you say that part again, Thessalonians?
We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Okay, I understand that part.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Okay, I guess I don't understand the falling away first.
The falling away is what's been going on. Everybody's falling away. Everyone has fallen away from the revelation of Christ. The falling away means it's not just a word like, okay, I fall away.
It's
I fell away.
As far as it can possibly fall.
It's fallen away in terms of state of total, the word means apostasy. That the church is in a state of total apostasy. All they're doing is putting the name of God in their idolatry. That's what caused the first. That's what caused the flood.
It's way worse than outright paganism.
But here, I mean, you got to see that this has to be crystal in you. Either what I'm saying to you is the right interpretation or it's not. If you see that by preaching we have revealed who the man of sin is and who the son of perdition is, I don't know of any place else in the world. I've never read it in a book. I've never seen it any place in a book. I've never seen it in a commentary that you are the Antichrist. Nowhere. It's never been revealed before. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been revealed someplace I don't know about. But I've spent a lot of time searching.
See, that's the thing. This is making me feel really peculiar.
Speak it.
It's like, to have a part in that is remarkable. It's like, this is, I don't know, never mind. It's like, I read a book, you know, all I do is constantly read, really. And I can't read a single book without seeing it all in the book. It doesn't matter what I pick up and read. Okay, and that's right, it's not anywhere at all. I'm reading this book now about visual thinking. It's called Visual Thinking. It's got Rudolf Arnold. He's got all these big theories he's been thinking for a while. But really, it's like an operations manual to describe how idolatry works. He doesn't realize that. He thinks he's talking about art. But, you know, it's like, shh. So what I'm doing is I'm taking that, and like I'm doing this watercolor that I was telling Harry about. And basically, the watercolor, the point of the watercolor, and the work that goes with it, says that everything feeds you. Every art feeds you. This watercolor I'm doing for you now feeds you. And if something doesn't feed you, you'll walk away from it. And the only thing it won't feed you is death. And it's of a cow skull. And you'll feed on any death, you'll feed on anything. You know, and it's stuff like that. You know, when I start hearing that, I just get, shh. You know what I mean?
The only place I've never seen it said, but I've seen the question asked. Golding in Lord of the Flies asks the question. There's one of the young boys is a very innocent, sort of a Christ-like figure. And everybody else is afraid of the beast that's out there lurking and going to kill them. And that little character asks the question, what if we are the beast? And their response is,
listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in here, in us, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed to all in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are depressed through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now here's the part. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I mean, it's big time stuff, folks. There's nothing I have that I didn't receive. I can't glory in anything. It has no merit unless it's but anyway. Please, with all this that was said tonight, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Bind the sacrifice tightly to the horns of the altar, that you may prove what is that good, prove meaning test, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that you might be transfigured. Instant, that's what that was talking about. Instantly transfigured. When you're transfigured, then time and space has lost its purpose. Then it all on everything that's in time and space goes into the dump. That you might be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. That's the agency. That's the phenomena that takes place. That's how you're transfigured, by the renewing of your mind. didn't do any good. I mean, I knew all this stuff. That mystical night, January 17th, 1972. I could have been there 1,000 years or, you know, I left. But it didn't have absolutely no meaning until it was received. Now, that word of God which has been planted in you, the word, not these words about the word, but the word in you, God didn't send forth for no purpose, but to accomplish, it shall accomplish that purpose for which he sent it forth. Amen?
Amen.
Now you see, if you stop to think about Mary, right, mother of Jesus, and Joseph. Okay, so first of all, Mary gets pregnant. She's never done anything. Then angels talk to her, and she sees him. Probably took her, you know, then the annunciation and the presentation of the birth and all that. It probably took her 3 months after the birth to forget it. I really forget it, but you know what I mean. It's her life. No, it was just like her life just reverted to like it was always been.
These are the things that are nice.
Yeah.
So thinking about stimulation.
Christ was obviously told stories about this when he was a child. Sure. Yeah. Right. Right, Dad.
Zap your toe.
It took him 30 years to be tested in all areas as Son of Man. It doesn't have to take that long with us. Because he's already done it. We just rest in what he has done. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The weapons of this trench warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. Casting down imaginations in every one of the high places that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Guess what? Your obedience was fulfilled at the time you were baptized in knowledge. God tricked you again. What? What'd you say?
We weren't there when you were baptized.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I certainly hope time and space doesn't matter. For some people.
Maybe we'll go swimming.
Let's see if Harry's...
Take it, big guy.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Had there been an actual emergency, your local station, in conjunction with the relevant federal authorities, would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.